Support for WPR comes from the American Society of Landscape Architects Wisconsin Chapter. Dedicated to reimagining the design of outdoor spaces for the well-being of all. Examples at wiasla.com.
Support for WPR comes from Viterbo University. Dedicated to supporting the state's health with doctoral and master's degrees in nursing, counseling, nutrition, and more. Viterbo.edu/graduate.
In this week's edition of Curious Wisconsin, we check out one of the state's most distinctive works of art and most distinctive artists.
The artist is Tom Every, better known as Dr. Evermore, and the artwork is the Forevertron, a massive sprawling structure of salvaged metal.
Tom Kupsch has been following Dr. Evermore's work for years. He's the author of A Mythic Obsession, The World of Dr. Evermore. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So can you give us a brief timeline? How did Tom Every, a salvager from Brooklyn, Wisconsin, come to be the visionary artist known as Dr. Evermore?
It's a long and winding road, starting in Madison, where he was born in 1938. His folks and the whole family moved to south to Brooklyn, Wisconsin, shortly after he was born. Tom had a reputation, even as a child, for collecting odd bits of junk, things people didn't need. It got so bad that his mother actually asked him to find a place in town to put the stuff because it filled the entire yard. He did find a place, and by the time he was 14, he had collected enough scrap metal to fill a railroad car. That was the beginning of his career as a salvage person. Later on, as an adult, he founded a company that was responsible for the demolition of a tremendous number of buildings in the upper Midwest. You have to understand, at this time, there was a transition to modern architecture and modern machinery, and many of the buildings that Tom was salvaging were built in the 1800s or early 1900s, and the machinery and the buildings had become outdated. So Tom was a salvager for many years in Wisconsin, salvaging breweries, he salvaged railroad cars, power plants, industrial sites. Eventually, he came up with the idea that some of the objects that he was finding were too precious to turn into salvage. He came up with the idea that they were animated with the spirit of the person who had used them or had made them. So he set these aside and collected tons and tons over the years. Later on in the 70s, he met up with Alex Jordan, the founder and creator of House on the Rock. Mm-hmm. Their relationship lasted about 10 years. It started off with Tom selling him 2,000 whiskey barrels that he had salvaged from a distillery in Kentucky. And they moved on from there. They became quite good friends, traveling the country to attractions and to collect the odd object here and there. Eventually, Tom began to help Alex fill a tremendous room that Alex had built out at House on the Rock. It's called the Organ Room. It's half a football field in dimension, 5.5 stories high. He started off by salvaging the steam water pumping works from Madison, which he brought out to House on the Rock and installed. That was the beginning of a mechanical fantasy that they both worked on. He followed that by installing a tremendous number of salvage items from his work throughout Wisconsin and the upper Midwest. Brew kettles from breweries were updating or going out of business. From Gisholt Machine here in Madison, a tremendous number of motors and equipment. So they moved on through this process, through this creative process. Now, these two egos, these two tremendously creative people, worked in parallel for a while, but it was doomed. They were on a collision course, and they did collide, and it wasn't good for Tom. He went through, after he was put out of House on the Rock, he went through a period that he calls depression. Mm-hmm. And it probably was depression. It was certainly sadness. He felt that his world had ended. So many things in his personal life and his professional life had come to an end. And then one day, while he was driving his truck, he came up with a family myth in order to escape from these troubles. And the myth involved an ancestor, a fictive ancestor, who lived in the Midlands of England. Now, the Avery family really did come from the Midlands of England, so that part is true. Mm-hmm. He called this ancestor Dr. Evermore. Dr. Evermore was born to a family that was with the Presbyterian Church. His father was a Presbyterian minister, according to this myth. Mm-hmm. One day they were walking through the fields in the evening, and a tremendous storm arose. Lightning, thunder, they had to take refuge in a barn. And it lasted for quite some time. We're still in the myth here. Uh-huh. And after it was over, the young Tom, who would become Dr. Evermore, asked his father, where does this lightning come from? And his father, of course, answered in a strict Presbyterian voice, well, it comes from Almighty God, young man. And Tom thought about this for a while and decided, well, if the lightning comes from God, if I can create a lightning force beam and get myself inside of it, I can rise to the celestial spheres. So in the myth, he begins to build the Forevertron.
The Forevertron. Now tell us, for people who haven't seen Dr. Evermore's work, can you describe the Forevertron for us?
Wow. The Forevertron is a machine that's 5.5 stories high. It's surmounted by a glass ball inside of a copper egg and surrounded by electric devices and charging machines that will create an electric force beam, electromagnetic force beam, that will cause the egg to blast off into the celestial spheres. Now, this is 5.5 stories high, mm-hmm. 160 feet long. There are a myriad of parts, and it took years to build. The reason the book is called A Mythic Obsession is because Tom took this myth, and he escaped from reality by building the Forevertron. After he came up with this myth and decided to build the Forevertron, he dedicated every moment of his life and all of his energy right to this moment mm-hmm. to building the Forevertron and promoting it.
And around the Forevertron on the grounds there, there are also hundreds, maybe, of his own creations, birds, elaborate birds, and really legions of different Dr. Evermore creations. Can you talk about some of those?
There are thousands of creations.
Thousands,
there.
Okay.
One of them is the bird band, in which he salvaged musical instruments that were going to be thrown away and made a bird out of each instrument, some of them standing as high as 17 feet high, that personifies or gets the spirit of the instrument. And they're arranged in a band underneath the Forevertron. And in the myth, he made them the music that would be playing when he blasts off in the Forevertron. There are other objects of art that he has created. He has principally concentrated on birds because they're a non-threatening kind of thing. But there are many, many other creations there. It's difficult to describe mm-hmm. this. I mean, I can't.
I've seen it, and I don't know that I could either, yeah. But it's all salvaged, mostly metal, it seems like, but other materials as well. It's a precursor to what people are calling upcycling these days. He was ahead of his time in using these materials he'd found.
It's all metal. Tom works only in metal.
Only metal, I'm sorry. Okay.
Only metal. He works in semi-precious metals like brass and copper, but mostly iron. And it's all salvaged material. All of it would have gone to recycling mm-hmm. If he had not reused it here. And many, many fascinating parts would have been lost through the years.
So with someone who's created such big things and with this mythology surrounding it, talking to Dr. Evermore, what is his personality like?
Tom's conversation flows smoothly between myth and reality and fiction and fact and the present and the future and intergalactic talk. It's difficult when you first meet him to get the feel of what's going on. But over the course of a number of years of interviews that I did with him, we developed a rapport so that I could understand the shorthand that he was using.
And what has been the international reception for the Forevertron and his other works? He's gotten international attention, right?
Yes, he has. He's well known as an alternative artist, a visionary artist. All around the world, people do come to visit the Forevertron from everywhere. And he's been, of course, published in many periodicals and books throughout the world out of great respect for his work.
There have been talks over the years of his works being moved or donated to various places. Can you talk about that, where they might end up?
There's always been a lot of talk about that because the Forevertron and the work do not sit on property that Tom owns. Mm-hmm. They're next to Delaney's Salvage, up across from the former Badger Ordnance plant. Mm-hmm. The disposition of the work finally will be in the hands of the family, of Tom and the family. That's always how it has been, and that's the way that will turn out. Whether it will be moved, we don't know right now. Time will tell.
It would take a lot to move, especially the Forevertron itself.
It would take a lot to move, but he has his son Thayer is an expert mover, following in his dad's footsteps, a very good welder, and would be able to do this task.
This is a unique Wisconsin site to go and visit the Forevertron and things like that. Do people here in Wisconsin realize what a treasure we have?
I think yes and no. I think local people, regional people do. Other people don't know where it is or what it is. And it truly is a treasure. There's nothing like this in the world.
Do you think that he hopes to inspire others to pursue their own unique vision? Probably not exactly his vision, the myth and the metal coming together like that. What do you think he wants other people to take from what he's doing?
Tom very much appreciates people coming out and telling him that they're inspired by the work. Oftentimes, younger artists will come out or people who are stuck. They have some sort of block in their work and tell him how inspired they are by his achievement. He finds this a great source of pride.
And for people who haven't been to visit, can you give us some encouragement to get out there and see the Forevertron?
Yes, you need to see this. The words fail anyone in describing it. There is no one who goes to the Forevertron and wanders around there who doesn't scratch their head and marvel at this wonderful work of art.
All right, Tom, thank you so much for joining us today. That was Tom Cupps. He's author of A Mythic Obsession, The World of Dr. Evermore.